People like living close to the water, and in coastal areas where water ebbs and flows, a whole lot of engineering is done to make that a reality. The problem is, one of the most common types of infrastructure used to make coastal living possible for people makes it not very habitable to wildlife. NPR's Nate Rott tells us about an effort to change the way things are done.
At the back edge of a backyard, in a mansion-lined South Florida canal, Arthur Tiedemann is trying to hang a giant planter from a bobbing barge when he states the obvious.
Someone's going to have to get wet here.
And obviously, with Tiedemann having seniority, being co-founder of APH Marine Construction, it's not going to be him.
Come on, man.
Hey, you're the little guy on the totem pole, and I'm going to be wet all day tomorrow, okay?
The planter is being hung on the smooth vinyl face of a recently installed seawall behind a big, modern-looking new house. And between the unpredictable waves, the crane, and the fact that these massive concrete planters are the first of their kind, the process is involved.
See, Nate, this is why people avoid doing things like this, because life and construction on the water is already hard enough.
Let alone hanging a 1,000-pound picture on the wall.
Yeah, seriously.
Keith Van Der Riet, who's lighting the mood, is the designer of these 1,000-some-pound planters, which, when hung, will each hold a living mangrove tree on an otherwise featureless wall. With ridges and channels, they don't look anything like what you'd see in the garden section of a hardware store.
These are obviously meant to mimic mangrove roots, right?
Yeah.
These look like root structures.
Yeah, and then kind of an oyster background or an oyster reef.
They're pockmarked and rough cut, designed that way, Van Der Riet says, with more than just aesthetics in mind.
And even these tiny little pores you get, those are little pockets that tiny organisms will start to kind of take up residence in.
An architect by training, Van Der Riet is a professor at the University of Kansas. It's a lifelong love of fishing, water, and maybe an appreciation for the Florida sunshine that's brought him here, though, with the goal of restoring some semblance of nature to a place that's dredged most of it away.
Yeah, I mean, this all would have been like meandering mangroves, and maybe there was some mangrove creek here that they just blew out, right?
Yeah. Replacing a swampy intertidal zone that provided habitat for fish, oysters, crabs, and other species with a hard, manicured edge.
And a big school of mullet coming through right here. Yeah.
At a harborside park in Fort Lauderdale, away from the construction, Van Der Riet says think like an architect for a second about what a seawall actually does. Replacing those meandering mangroves, that soggy, horizontal plain full of life.
Potentially miles long, depending on where you're at and how flat the landscape is. But you're collapsing that into a vertical wall with a single dimension to it.
Flattening an entire ecosystem. And now, he says, the problem is getting worse, which is what we're here to see.
This is a great example of a seawall that went in recently.
It's made of corrugated steel.
And that's really the new standard that they've moved to down here, that and vinyl in smaller applications, the same corrugated kind of shape.
The old standard was concrete, which, though still a vertical wall, is porous enough to sometimes provide habitat for oysters. Oysters that filter water and create their own habitat for crabs, fish, and other wildlife. The vinyl and metal?
The problem is oysters don't like it.
And with many of South Florida's concrete seawalls, built in the post-World War II boom, now approaching the end of their lifespan, what Tiedemann calls the seawall pandemic, even that shred of artificial habitat is getting smaller.
I would say we are at a perfect time to be taking big actions to try to protect our coastal systems.
Rachel Gitman is a coastal ecologist at East Carolina University.
Because they're not all lost in the southeastern U.S., far from it. But we are starting to see some real impacts and changes that are putting up red flags.
For example, seawater that's unsafe to swim in or collapsing coral reefs. Gibbon says that's why there's been a push in the research community and increasingly in the construction industry to rethink how we build our shorelines.
Can we mimic nature and can we reproduce it in a way that's going to support biodiversity or productive fisheries?
Or any number of other things. Gibbon says there's a lot of innovation happening in this space. A lot of new products like Van Der Riet's that aim to create artificial habitat. And she's not sure all of them will work. It's not easy to mimic nature.
What I do know is that doing nothing at this point or letting the status quo is probably not the answer.
Back on the barge, where pilot holes are being drilled into the vinyl seawall, Tiedemann says that's why his marine construction company is experimenting with new things like these mangrove planters.
What can we do from an environmental perspective to help the water quality, help marine life come back and keep South Florida what it is, you know, keep it special? You know, that's what makes all these properties worth what they're worth, is the water and the enjoyment of the water, right?
And keeping it that way, he says, means keeping it full of life. Nate Rott, NPR News, Fort Lauderdale, Florida.